Before we start some meditation practice, perhaps just a few words. One of the things I remember from my first teacher, he reckoned that a word that the Buddha might have used most often is, "it depends." And I think this is very important to understand, that the experiences you have at any moment is in the context of the environment and your own history. So obviously the experiences I have now in this retreat come to some extent from the practices I've done, the meditations I've done, and my experiences as a Buddhist monk and so on, partially from my family history, partially from being a man, etc., and partially from this environment. So if you consider, say, for you, you know, you come into this environment and it's probably a pretty radical change from what you're used to doing. You have this very strict schedule and it's quite renunciant, and living in community and 60 people together in this beautiful environment, that's going to affect you in a certain way, because it's not what you're used to. So if you're used to having your own food and your own situation, community might be very inspiring. Maybe if you live in a lonely situation, community might be very confusing. So many people. Depends. It depends, doesn't it? Also, say what you experience in your meditation depends what you did last week or what you've done this year. So if you've had a really hectic week where you've been dealing with all kinds of complexities and problems and difficult people, that's going to affect this moment, isn't it? Obviously, it depends. If you've just done a 7-day retreat and now you come here, that's going to have a different effect on your mind. So it depends. So that means that in some sense we have to accept the way things are, and then from that acceptance work on our practice, and tomorrow will depend on what we do today. Not totally. Tomorrow will depend to some extent on what happened to us as kids and what happened to us last week. But tomorrow will be affected by what kind of practices we do today. It depends. Huh? So what's most important is our attitude, not the particular kind of history that comes into our mind. So like if I, you know, I come into this environment and I feel I haven't done much meditation in the last year, and then I feel restless, that's the history of my mind, maybe, because I don't know how to meditate, or I'm not used to meditating. So that's quite natural. That's all quite natural. That's okay. But now I can make efforts, and I can create the causes for restlessness to begin to die out in the future. I can't just say I'm not going to be restless, or I'm not going to be sleepy, and I'm just going to get kind of high. I'm not, you can say it. Go for it. But you usually can't do it, because we are involved with history, right? So that means we have to be very, very patient and kind to ourselves in the practice, not to make sort of unreasonable demands on how we would like the mind to be, but rather accept how it is, and then from that work. So that the first the primary attitude is one of acceptance. But this isn't complacency. It's not necessarily being passive or active. It's just actually awakening to the way things are, how you feel. So if you feel inspired and bright, and your body is lovely and light, and your back is straight, and your mind is very calm and tranquil, fine. And if it's not, and your back is hurting you, and your knees are killing you, and you're sleepy, that's okay too. It's all right. But the important thing is to know, this is how I feel now. I feel this way now. Not as a judgment, but as an awakening. And this is this refuge of Buddha. We awaken to the way things are. From that awakening, we can develop practices. We can cultivate various kinds of ways of meditation which can bring some composure to the mind, bring some calmness to the mind. So the secret to practice is, first of all, awakening, and then developing some kind of meditation object, meditation practice, which we can focus on with some sense of interest. So you have to be interested in what you're doing. Now, if interest in the meditation object is coming from greed or fear, this is the way we usually develop interest, either through responsibility or greed or fear or different kinds of motivations like that, something that excites us and something that is passionate. Those things we can easily get absorbed into. For meditation, we need to bring up energy from a different kind of a source. Rather than the source of passion or fascination, we need to bring it up from a more peaceful center. So we choose very neutral kinds of objects, like breath, or mantra, or visualizations, or very, very simple things which aren't passionate. Now, to focus on things like that is difficult, because they don't have a sort of passion about them. So we have to bring interest into the object of meditation by inquiry. So it's the sense of inquiry or applying the mind which brings a kind of brightness to mind. So then also we need to be very patient, because of the nature of the wandering mind, the restless mind, it's not going to do what you want it to do right away. You have to be very, very patient and have a sense of determination in the practice, but keep accepting the way it is now, and then keep applying effort in a very patient way. And patience is the secret, because where we go off is we have this incredible greed for attainment. Often we want to get something, we want to get a fast result, but we are in a historical context, and as much as we would like a quick result, quite often that's not the case. So please, like especially for the folk who are here on the weekend, don't judge your practice according to the type of experience. And don't say, oh, I had a good, or you can say it, but like if you say to yourself, I have had a good experience, then when you don't get it, you'll think you had a bad experience. And you'll get into this kind of judgmental way of operating. But very often in meditation, you might feel very dull or restless and have to work through that. But working through that might give you a sense of balance and a sense of energy which you need to actually develop. The experience itself might not be so beautiful, but the effort that you put into it, the understanding of it, can be very profitable. So don't worry about the type of experience. Obviously it's nice to get blissed out, but that's really not the point of Buddhism. It's not to get blissed out, it's to be free from the need for bliss. So if you have bliss, fine. If you don't have bliss, fine. If your meditation makes you peaceful, then accept it. If your meditation doesn't make you peaceful, then accept it. If you want to meditate, meditate. If you don't want to meditate, meditate. Right? So whatever comes, you just work with it. You keep working with it. Whatever comes up into consciousness. Alright, so I'll do some... Oh, another thing. Usually when meditation techniques are described, usually there's a kind of... a number of steps which people go through, and usually it begins with some kind of quite often it begins with some kind of a chanting. So they might, in Buddhism, you might chant the Three Refuges or the Metta Sutta, one of these discourses that we have, and then there's a determining of which object of meditation you're going to use. Now I'm going to watch the breath, now I'm going to do visualization. Then there's the focusing in the object. And quite often that focusing, you might do something complicated like count breaths, and then you simplify things. So there's a kind of pattern that people often develop in meditation, from complexity, like a bit of chanting, a bit of counting in the breath, and then simplifying to just noticing one part of the breath. And so in that vein, what I'd like to do, I'd like to use a mantra as a way of starting the meditation to get people settled into the moment. And then from that, to use the breath for now, and then focusing on the breath by various kinds of methods. Okay? So let's take a meditative posture. Mantras are quite simple, repeated patterns of sound that we as a group, we try to harmonize our voices. This mantra is often used in Sri Lanka, And it's around the three refuges, around Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. So it's not in those books. The mantra goes Bhutang 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 One Day. The last word is one day. They have Bhutang Dhammang Sangham One Day. And one day is a sense of respect, a sense of veneration. And it has a kind of complicated rhythm, which will sound complicated, but if you just slowly pick up with me, then perhaps over the days of this retreat we'll develop some skill in this mantra and use it as a preliminary practice of calming the mind several times a day maybe. So the idea is that you sit in a good meditative posture, then you focus on the sound, use the sound, and then when I'll ring the bell to end the mantra, don't stop meditating, keep meditating, but notice the mind, which is quiet. You know, mantras are very good for helping to quiet the mind, and then I'll encourage you to move to the breath. Right? So we'll do the mantra for about 10 minutes, and then at the end of the mantra there'll be a kind of a space, and just notice the mind, which is often silent and empty and not caught up, and then I'll ask you to focus on the breath. Okay, so take a good posture, close your eyes and focus on the posture. And I'll start the mantra when you feel like joining in. Rejoin in. Bhutang, 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 Vande, Dhamma.
Sangha, 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 Sang Buddha, Buddha,
So the first step is just the sense of awakening. This is the way it is now. Environment. This way now. Body. People around us. Sense of being at ease with the way things are, acceptance. So awake, but not trying to get rid of anything, or not trying to become anything. So it's like an openness, a receptivity, receiving this moment, awake to it. What does it feel like? Then choosing the object of meditation, we choose the breath. So say, now I'm going to watch the breath. So make a firm determination. Turn your attention to the breathing of the body. Feel the in-breath. And feel the out-breath. And just to reinforce the object of meditation, make the breathing a bit stronger than normal, a bit deeper, a bit stronger, for a few breaths. So you're really lodging in consciousness what you're doing now. You're watching the breath. So take some deeper breaths, feel the breath, feel the body. So this takes a bit of extra effort and kind of anchors you onto the object of meditation. So just a bit of deep breathing in the beginning. And be quite physical in this. Now move away from thought. Notice the whole in-breath with the deep breath. And the whole out-breath, relaxing with the out-breath. So, as you welcome the in-breath, a sense of welcoming, a peaceful kind of welcoming, big deep breath in and out-breath, relaxing, full out-breath. So we're putting a sense of peace, welcoming, then let your breath become normal. Continue observing the whole in-breath and the whole out-breath. Pay a lot of attention to the end of the out-breath. As you relax with the out-breath, notice it right to the end. And then allow the next in-breath to come in. And you have to be quite interested in the physical feeling of this rhythm of breathing. Sense of inquiry, attentiveness. Now, to help settle the mind, introduce some counting. So at the end of each out-breath, say 1, 2, 3, so on up to 10, counting each out-breath, and then back from 10 back to 1, up and down like that. And if you lose track, then start again. So learning to sustain this peaceful attention for one whole in-breath, one whole out-breath. It's like a training. So the scattered energies of thought you bring back and then sustain attention on one object. So if the mind wanders off, then you notice that. You say later, back to the breath. Keep reinforcing the intention to watch the breath. Now I'm watching the breath. So past and future, not to worry about them. Just be in the present moment. You find your attention gets kidnapped, you get hijacked, and that's quite natural. And you begin again, composing the mind. Be very, very patient and sort of quite diligent too at the same time. This sort of interest in the object, what does it feel like? What does the in-breath feel like physically? In a kind of sustained, calm attention. From the beginning of the in-breath to the end, and then beginning of the out-breath to the end. Then if you want to drop the counting, you can. So the counting can be quite a good preliminary exercise to get really into the object. exercises for my left hand, don't I? I can say, well, I can't play the piano because my left hand hasn't got any coordination, but then I can't play the piano. Or I can blame my left hand, or I can blame my mother for not developing my left hand. But there it is. I've got this left hand problem. And the way I can learn how to play the piano is by doing some kind of exercises to become more coordinated. So it's the same with the meditation practice. If you're experiencing dullness now, you could say, well, if I didn't have dullness, I could meditate. Or you could not notice the dullness. Or you could blame it or whatever. But there it is, there's dullness. And so this dullness is neither right nor wrong. It just needs to be worked with. You need to understand how to work with it. The same with restlessness or whatever it might be. So this sense of accepting and awakening to the particular kind of energy that you're involved in is important. Right? So rather than judging it and saying, oh, I've got to really try hard and I'm falling asleep, I've got to try hard. It's a good intention, but just trying to annihilate dullness won't work. Because there'll be a kind of aggro in the mind, won't there? There'll be sort of an aggressive, oh, I have to get rid of this thing. And that very attitude of aggression and irritation, annoyance at this difficult condition won't work. Also, if one doesn't put any energy into it, any effort, says, well, that's just the way it is. And one just goes back and follows the restlessness or the dullness, that won't work either. So that you need to apply effort, but it has to be from a right attitude. So, with sleepiness, please accept the fact that many of you will feel just very sleepy for the first 10 days. We'll get the coffee out tonight. Sleepiness is quite often it's just a product of being exhausted, right? So this is nature. So you know you have to be patient with that. But often sleepiness is a product of being too stimulated, to being too much out into the world of doing and thinking and so on. And when we try to come back to something simple like the breath, there's a kind of exhaustion in the senses. And that you have to work with. So with dullness or sleepiness, again, if you're just so whacked your head's hitting the floor, then get some extra sleep. But do accept the fact that sleepiness is a hindrance in meditation that you have to learn to work with. And the way to work with it is first of all to recognize it. It says that now there's sleepiness. Not to say, oh God, I get rid of the sleepiness, but there is sleepiness. Then to establish a posture which is very strong. So, like, if you're feeling sleepy and you notice the sleepiness, stop meditating. Forget about the breath, look around. Just brighten the mind by just looking at whatever. Look at me sleeping or whatever. and so you're here now. And then set up a good posture. Now, with posture, I find if my bottom side is lower than my knees, it's harder to meditate. If I can get my back side higher than my knees, it pushes my back up. So there's like these benches or cushions. That's why we have cushions. It pushes your back forward and up, and that helps to get some energy into the body. So with the posture, like with sleepiness, make a strong posture. Try to get quite straight. Keep your eyes open. With the hands, you can do something like this. You can take your hands up to your sternum.
Solar
plexus. Thank you. And so basically, you're getting your arms off your thighs. You know, when you get sleepy, you get really relaxed. So you're picking up the body. Now, once you've established a good strong posture, then notice how sleepiness comes into the posture, how it affects the body. So you're sitting there and the mind, and you know, the posture starts to droop. And if you keep noticing that, it'll keep coming, you keep noticing it, eventually the tendency to get lost in it will fade away, and there'll be some brightness in the mind. You have to be very patient and attentive, and you might have to keep going through the same thing. With the breath, you can make the breath a bit stronger. So, and then holding a stronger breath, then if you start to get sleepy, the breath will become shallow and weak. So pick up the breath again. and keep working with that until that sort of mood of mind or that energy is more vitalized. Okay? So you're not getting rid of the sleepiness, but you're looking at it and you're learning to sustain attention. And as the body starts to droop, you're learning to pick it up and hold the posture again. Pick it up and hold the posture. So the thing, the break, like with sleepiness, stop meditating, you notice it. Establish a good posture and then investigate the nature of sleepiness. Okay? Don't try to get it investigated. See how it obsesses the mind. So that's one that people will get. And then the other opposite of that tends to be restlessness. So that tends to be like you want to switch your postures all the time. You keep looking at the clock and keep wondering when the bell's going to ring and those kinds of things. And obviously if you have a lot of physical pain, that'll happen. If you're not used to sitting, your knees hurt or your back hurts, and then you get fidgety and you wonder, oh, I can't take this anymore, and so on and so forth. So with physical pain, try to be very kind to the body, in the sense of relaxing, relaxing around the knees or the back, and being very patient, because any kind of physical discomfort makes us impatient, and we shift around and we move around. So then learn to be bringing words like with impatience or with restlessness, bringing words like peace, just wait, nowhere to go, nothing to do. So that slows the whole thing down, calms the energy. But the thing is to notice is sleepiness or restlessness, and then to work on it. So to change postures, we do some walking meditation now. And remember again, please remember that what we're trying to do is sustain awareness. We're not trying to attain to anything special, we're just trying to sustain the ability to be aware and not just get caught up with our moods and our thoughts, but to be centered and still with whatever's going on. So in walking meditation, it's a very, very simple practice where we choose a path of maybe 15 or 20 paces, a level piece of ground which is easy to walk along. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to step over logs or things like that. We mark the ends of the path, both ends. We begin at one end of the path and we cast our glance forward a couple of meters and keep our glance down, and then we make the intention, now I'm going to walk to the other end of the path. And then the object of meditation is very physical again, just the feet touching the ground. Very simple. Walk in a kind of slow to normal pace and just try to be aware of the body, just the feet touching the ground, just that feeling of the feet moving, the pressure on one foot and then the release of the pressure, then the pressure on the other foot. Simple walking. And again, that's a very boring exercise, and your mind will much rather worry. Much more interesting to worry than to wash your feet, or fantasize, or plan, or whatever, and sing pop songs. What you notice in this meditation is just the restlessness of the human mind. It's always anything but the present moment. You know, it's very kind of perverse, isn't it? Where it'll just do anything but be present. And so that means we need to contain our energy, bring it back, and keep composing it. So if you have that image where the mind just gets scattered and goes off into yesterday or to tomorrow, and it's thinking, and you notice it, that's the moment of awakening. That's a very valuable moment. So rather than say, oh no, my mind has wandered again, establish mindfulness. This is the way I feel now. My feet feel this way. Get really physical, the sense of pressure, and then make a determination. Now I'm going to notice my feet touching the ground, to the end of the path. Then when you get to the end of the path, stop. If you notice your mind will be wandering, well, that'll help you notice the wandering mind. Turn around very mindfully, stop again, make the determination, now I'm going to watch my feet touching the ground to the other end, and then walk. If your mind gets really racy or whatever, stop in the middle of the path. Establish mindfulness again, right? And then walk. And we do that for 45 minutes or an hour, and try to stick with the duration of the meditation if you feel, unless you're ill, if you feel restless after half an hour, don't buy into that. Don't leave and pick the berries or whatever. Stay with the meditation, because if one just buys into these states of mind, like I'm bored, and you go off, then you condition boredom and restlessness in the mind. But if you're walking and you notice boredom, and this is what boredom feels like, and you go back and compose the mind, then the tendency to need to be excited, the opposite of boredom, that falls away and your mind has some peace. So please don't just react to the kind of, what is the point of this? I mean, I could be doing important things in the world, walking back and forth. And then the mind does all these kinds of things on you. Don't believe it. Just keep, forget about the thoughts, go back to the body, back to the body. So the principle is that breath and then feet, breath, feet, then after a while we become more and more present and more sensitive, just with this moment, the way it is now. And that begins to relax the mind and make the mind more peaceful rather than more scattered. With the mozzies will be chewing on you, they're ravenous out there. So with that, just notice the annoyance or restlessness that it creates. Obviously we're going to brush them off, try not to kill them. But that'll be a very real part of the walking meditation, I should think, huh? If you're in an area with lots of mosquitoes, so I mean if you have mosquito repellent, okay. But keep trying to just compose the mind on the feet touching the ground. All right, any questions around that? All right, let's do one more thing. I'll tend to stay here after, you know, as the walking meditation starts, I'll stay here, and if anyone has any questions on the practice, please feel free to come forward. I'm happy to answer any questions or try to help. All right, so let's do that, and then there'll be a bell at what time? 11 will be a bell?
Well, you've got a ringing 11 o'clock bell, that's, you know, the main meal, so can you just check with the cook before you
eat?
So when you hear it,
it
means we're ready to
eat. Okay, so the bell to end the meditation is also the bell to go down for the meal, right?
Yes.
Okay, all right, please go ahead.